Okay, now we finally come to case number 22-1026 in Rezaner Design Group Limited. Mr. Cohen.
May it please the court. My name is Morris Cohen, and I represent the Rezaner Design Group in this matter. Your honors, when this designer specification said that the internal and external edges of his ring need not be rounded, he then showed an example of eight...
Preferably or so, right?
Or prefer, yes, Your Honor. He then showed an example of eight right-angled edges as an in Figure 4C as an example of what he meant. He showed that right-angled edges were within his contemplation for the internal edges.
Those are the external edges, right?
Yes, but he said... Yeah, that is correct, Your Honor. He said his internal and or external edges need not be rounded, and then he showed that as an example of the external edges, but his statement was also that the internal edges were the same. And in fact, Your Honor, when we look at all of the evidence consistently supports this same position, this same conclusion. If we look, for example, at his manufacturing specifications, with respect to the RF embodiment indicate that the surface of the ring must be of a uniform height for that particular manufacturing embodiment. A rounded edge is not a uniform height. It tapers downward. The only way it could be a uniform...
That's the edging, though. That's not the actual surface of the ring itself.
It's the surface of the... I don't understand the question.
Well, what we're looking at, essentially, are flat panel rings, right?
Yes.
And if you put the shower curtain over a row of these flat panel rings, you're going to have an even surface, regardless of whether the internal edging is at a right angle or maybe it's beveled or something else.
Oh, I see. So in his manufacturing specification, he indicates that when you're lining up all of the materials, that the surface must be of the same height, and the ring would not have the same height if the edge is rounded, because that edge would go downward, it would not be the same height.
Well, that's it would have the same height if the edge was sharper than 90 degrees, correct?
Well, if it were 90 degrees or under, but under wouldn't be it wouldn't be manufacturable or hygienic. You wouldn't use an internal edge. It's a cut-in, and also that would collect bacteria. Mm-hmm. You would have either a right angle or a rounded edge.
What about a... It doesn't cut down at 90 degrees, but it's more like 150 degrees.
150 degrees outward?
Like a beveled edge. See, like this? Instead
yes.
of like this?
Yes, I understand. This. Well, in that case, it would not be the same height. It would go out. And then again, it wouldn't be consistent with that particular manufacturing embodiment, the RF embodiment. And
what I have about this manufacturing specification argument is it wasn't really meaningfully raised to the board below. You make a quick reference to it in your board brief, and then in a footnote, you cite to a couple figures. And I'll be honest with you, when I looked at those figures, I couldn't make heads or tails of them just looking at the figures alone. And then only after reading your blue brief, which then puts in a few pages trying to walk us through all of that, it still was less than clear to me that those manufacturing specifications demand that you have a right angle interior edge. But by and large, the main problem I have is that this looks like an argument that was just too skeletal and conclusory below to be regarded as a preserved argument.
Well, we raised it in the opening brief of the PTAB at 1241 and note 7. Then we raised it in the reply at 1287 and 1293.
Well, you had a single basic generic statement saying, oh, and then there's these manufacturing specifications. But, you know, the board, you know, requires a little bit more than that. You need to explain yourself in terms of what it is about the content of those manufacturing specifications that forces a conclusion that these utility patent drawings have a particularized appearance, three-dimensional appearance, and that kind of argumentation wasn't really presented below. I mean, if you had given the Federal Circuit that same level of quality of argument in your blue brief, I wouldn't have known what to do with it. I would have basically said this isn't a real argument. So I guess that's the main concern I have. And then the second concern that I have is, as we've been talking about, I don't see why it requires some 90-degree right-angle interior edge.
Well, Your Honor, my point that I was making is that Mr. Zahner was in possession of right-angle edges. There are different ways to do his rings. It says need not be rounded, but preferably so. And an example of need not be rounded was right-angle edges. The question is, was he in possession of right-angle edges? And his figure shows that he was in possession of that. And in addition, the evidence,
well,
for example...
Maybe not right-angle edges in the abstract. It was whether he was in possession of and clearly conveyed to a skilled artisan of a specific design, three-dimensional design of these shower rings. And it's hard to rely on two-dimensional drawings from a utility patent, which are really more concept-based, less ornamentation, three-dimensional design-based, to make that conclusion. And this was a fact-finding by the board below, which enjoys substantial deference here on appeal.
Except that the PTO's basis for their fact-finding was a false premise. The PTO says that the rings in figure four, are all rounded and they have no shading. Therefore, shading is not relevant. But there's nothing in the record where it says that figure four has got rounded edges. On the contrary, figure four has right-angled edges. So the premise of the PTAB was incorrect. And in addition, the concept of question is what one of ordinary skill, what a skilled designer would understand. And we showed that a skilled designer and the expert likewise testified would understand that rounded edges are shown by contract-centric shading. A lack of shading, as was shown in the particular drawing that was in the priority document, indicates a right-angled edge.
Oh, but Mr. Carl, let me interrupt you, because yes. The lack of shading simply shows that there's an edge. But if it was more than 90 degrees, that drawing would look the same, would it not? Figure 21?
Well, that would not be the type of ring that one would use because it would collect bacteria. But
that's another question. But, I mean, you'd agree with me that if the edge was more than 90 degrees, figure 21 would be correct.
Well, figure 21 could refer to an angle more than 90 degrees.
So that figure 21, therefore, does not necessarily disclose a right-angled edge.
Well, that's why we look at the specification, Your Honor. And the specification says the edge need not be rounded, and then it shows an example, a right angle. A right angle was certainly within Mr. Zahner's contemplation because he shows a right angle. If he did not show any examples of right angles, if there was no indication that he was in possession of right angle, that'd be one thing. But he specifically says the internal edge need not be rounded, and he shows a right angle of what he means. Thus, the internal edge of this particular figure can be a right angle. It could also be more than a right angle, but the question is whether he possessed a right angle. And
it's not a question of what it could be. The question is what is disclosed.
Right. So Mr. Zahner disclosed...
Is it your position that in that right utility angle patent drawing, it's necessarily disclosing only a right angle interior edge for those shower rings?
So you're referring to figure 21 or what particular figure? So figure 21 shows a right angle edge because there's no shading.
Only a right angle edge?
It's
only showing one singular embodiment, the right angle edge embodiment?
Well, as Judge Lin...
It's just a yes or no question. Is it yes or is it no?
No, I don't believe it only conveys a right angle.
What else could it be encompassing?
I believe it conveys a right angle. And then in conjunction with the disclosure says alternatively it can be rounded.
Okay.
So I think if you read the two together, it can...
So then you're saying figure 21 is really agnostic to, in terms of what it's illustrating as to be the interior edge of the shower ring.
I think that figure 21 shows a right angle, but the disclosure indicates that it can also alternatively be rounded.
So I guess that's the point, is that the figure, in light of the statements and the specification that, you know, the edging can be all sorts of different things, preferably rounded, but not necessarily so, suggests that the figures themselves likewise aren't really showing any particular specific embodiment of what the interior edging is going to be. It's just more of a generic picture that's agnostic to the particularized edging as displayed in that particular figure.
No, I wouldn't say that because, for example, we have the disclosure that the internal edge can be a right angle. That's specifically disclosed and shown. In addition, Rule 84M indicates that shading is required for rounding, but it's not required for a flat surface. And this has got no shading on it. So that indicates that we're...
There's something in the rules or the MPEP that mandates a reading of a figure without shading as necessarily understanding that a three-dimensional version of that figure has right-angled edges?
Rule 84M says that...
It doesn't say that that's necessarily so, correct?
Well, Rule 84M says that if it's rounded, it needs to have shading, but a
but if
flat...
there's no shading, are we supposed to... I mean, this... What you're asking for potentially impacts all utility patent drawings that are two-dimensional renditions of some particular embodiment. Almost none of those have any shading when it comes to utility patent drawings. And are you saying that when we look at utility patent drawings, all, you know, 9 million patents, they all are illustrating a three-dimensional embodiment with right-angled edges, both interior and exterior, because they don't have any shading?
Well, I can't speak to a case not before us, but I can say that the Rule 84 says the flat areas may also be lightly shaded. It's completely optional if it's flat. So the fact that there's no shading indicates that it's flat. And here we have expressed
language.
Okay,
wait. You spoke a little too quickly.
Sorry.
Rule 0.184M says what?
That flat parts may also be lightly shaded. It's optional for a flat part.
Okay, so to get back to my question, there is no requirement, 84M, that forces us to read two-dimensional figures without shading as having right angle edges.
Well, I believe...
Is that fair to say?
Well, no, I believe that Rule 84M requires shading if there's a rounding. It says, quote...
If you absolutely want to convey shading, then yes, you have to have... If you want to convey rounded edges, then yes, you have to have shading. But is the converse necessarily so, that any lack of shading necessarily means that it's a right angle edge? Is that what Rule 84 says? I don't read it that way, but if you have some particular words in 84M you want to point me to, I'd like to see it.
Yes. I mean, in Rule 84, it says flat parts may, and I'm emphasizing the may, also be lightly shading. And it also says that shading is used to indicate spherical, cylindrical, and conical elements. The fact that the element is not shaded shows that it's flat. Otherwise, it would have had to be shaded.
That's not what the rule says, though.
Well, that's how I will read the rule, requiring that if it's rounded, spherical, and so forth, there must be shading. And that if it's flat, it's optional. So when the shading is left off, that indicates that it's flat. And likewise, the disclosure that we said before.
Okay, so then that goes back to my question. Figure 21, there's no shading, so therefore it must be an only illustrating a right angle edge.
As depicted in that figure, it's a right angle edge. The description also says that alternative embodiments, you can round it. But the figure itself shows a right angle edge, as also explained before. Internal edges need not be rounded, and it shows
that
right
angle. Did your utility patent expire yet?
The utility patent on...
Your priority should expire.
Yes.
And now you've got a design patent on one embodiment covered by the utility patent.
Years ago, we got a design patent. Yes, Your Honor.
That design patent doesn't expire for maybe another decade or something like that.
I don't know if it's a decade. I think it's several years, but I could look up the date if I look at the issue date. I think it's 6 years.
Just wondering, why isn't this a candidate for obviousness-type double patenting or just a straight double patenting rejection because it's an unjustified time-wise extension of a term for an embodiment that is clearly covered by the utility patent claims?
Well, that issue wasn't raised, and that issue was not before the court. It was never raised below, and in addition...
The design patent is co-owned by the same person that owns the utility patent, right?
That's correct, yes. It's owned by the same party.
Otherwise, the general hallmarks for double patenting rejections.
Well, not necessarily. First of all, if that issue had been raised, applicant could have addressed it. It's not before the court because it was never raised. Also, the whole question of such an issue goes into its own separate area of law, which was never briefed and never addressed. I don't know that that's really an issue. But I would say that, you know, the PTO's position is based on a false premise. They have no site for showing that figure four is rounded, and they rely on the lack of shading in figure four, which is not, which is based on a false premise. I reserve the remainder of my time. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hickman.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. I agree with the questions that the court has pointed out so far to appellant's counsel. And just to bring things back to basics, to win this appeal, Mr. Zahner must show that there is no substantial evidence to support the finding that he had not designed interior right angle edges by the earlier filing date. But a comparison of two drawings supplies the core of that substantial evidence. And those two drawings, as the court is aware, are figure 21 from the priority application and figure 2 in the current design patent. And they are depicted side by side on pages 1 and 2 of our red brief. The court has created a body of precedent which gives us guides for how to compare those two figures, Owens, Daniels, and Vascaf. All three of those cases provide us with guides for how to analyze and compare those drawings. And what they tell us to do is look for whether there is clear visibility, a clear visual indication of possession of the design in the earlier drawing. We ask whether new matter has been added, and we can also look at whether perhaps there was an addition of lines in the new drawing that would create new matter. And in figure 2 of the current design patent under reexamination, we can see that it is clearly different than the figure in the prior application. It's in three dimensions, whereas in the prior application, the ring was in two dimensions. And in the prior drawing, we can't even really see inside that ring anything about the nature of whether it's flat or whether there's a right angle or whether there could be beveling or things like that. So that, I believe, is the core of the substantial evidence. The court already covered quite a bit in the opening part of the argument on the issues that were raised in the briefing. I'm happy to answer any further questions if the court has any. If not, I am willing to see the rest of my time.
Any questions? Any more questions? Thank you. Mr. Cohen.
Thank you, Your Honor. The Patent Office's response doesn't address the question that we raised, which is that the premise of the PTAB decision was that figure 4 is a preferred embodiment with all rounded edges. There's no basis for that in the record. There's nothing in the record that indicates that what the PTAB relied upon is actually what the specification says. It's a false premise. The specification refers to figure 4, and then it shows right-angled edges. To say that figure 4 only covered rounded edges is inconsistent with the figure, but that's what the PTAB relied upon at the appendix at 11. They said that since this figure is all rounded edges and there's no shading, shading is irrelevant. But that figure is not all rounded edges. As we had shown, that figure shows right-angled edges. And the patent itself says the internal and external edges need not be rounded, although they are preferably so. And then when it shows this example of right angle edges, it indicates that when it says need not be rounded, it includes right angles as an option. It's not the only option. There are other options for the particular edges. But the question before the court is simply whether or not a right angled edge is one of the options that was in Mr. Zahner's possession. And we submit that a right-angled edge certainly was within his possession because he showed a right-angled edge. He discussed that need not be rounded includes a right-angled edge. And all the evidence is consistent with a right-angled edge. Whether we give more or less evidence to particular aspects, it's all consistent. There's no evidence whatsoever that contradicts Mr. Zahner's position that a right-angled edge was in his possession. Whether we give less or more weight to the manufacturing specification, less or more weight to the shading, they all come to the same consistent conclusion. And that conclusion is that he contemplated a right-angled edge as one of his options, not the only option, again, but one of his options. And one would have to really disregard the showing of right-angled edges to say that Mr. Zahner had not considered or thought of right-angled edges. And it's also somewhat illogical that a designer would not know of right-angled edges, considering that he showed it, considering the fact that he doesn't have shading, considering the fact that a uniform surface in the manufacturing specifications requires a right-angled edge, considering the fact that an expert testified as to what one of ordinary skill would understand from the drawing. And that is the standard that this court has put forward. Possession. What would a skilled designer understand from Mr. Zahner's specification, from his disclosure and so forth? And the expert testified as to that, and the PTAB did not give any weight whatsoever to that expert testimony. And that was contrary to this court's decision in Altair, in which this court specifically said that to disregard expert testimony is an abuse of discretion. For the PTAB not to give any weight whatsoever to the expert declaration, to give no weight to the manufacturing specifications, even though it was cited, to give no weight to the shading, even though their reason is based on a false preference, that's all an abuse of discretion, arbitrary and capricious. The PTAB says that shading is not required because this particular ring is not shaded and it's all rounded. But one just need look at it and see that it's not all rounded. It's got right angles within it. So it's hard to justify a position by the PTAB that simply ignores the fact that all the evidence for Mr. Zahner is consistent and which is built upon a false premise. The premise that a particular ring that didn't have shading was rounded when clearly it was not rounded. And I would add that this position is also consistent with the regulations, which says that flat surfaces need not be shaded. It's optional. It's also consistent with what the original examiner found. The original examiner understood completely that this particular ring was disclosed in the parent. Even the examiner in this reexamination concluded the same before he sua sponte reversed himself without explanation. He reversed his own position after finding their priority and then didn't explain what the basis was for reversing his position. In fact, there was no substantial new question of patentability to the extent that the very same evidence before the PTAB is the evidence that the original examiner already considered. The original examiner already considered all of this evidence and found priority, and then the PTAB later disregarded that, but there was no new question. There was nothing new here that was not before the original examiner who found priority, and likewise, as we had said, the evidence is all consistent. The right angle edge was within Mr. Zahner's possession. Is there any other questions from the court before I? Okay, thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks
to both counsel. The case is taken under submission. That concludes this panel's arguments for this session.